This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We probably don't need to tell you it's cold this morning. Dangerously cold to be outside for just about any length of time. The latest conditions and forecast can be found at WUWM.com/weather. The high temperature today is expected to reach 9 or 10 below. Schools are closed around Milwaukee to keep children from having to spend time in the extreme cold. But some people will need to be outside today. And in doing so, they risk some significant health issues. Dr. Chris Decker is Emergency Department Medical Director at Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin, and he's with us by phone to talk about those issues. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
What are the primary dangers to people from extremely cold temperatures?
Well, the most common danger is really freezing of the skin or frostbite.
Frostbite's one of those terms that people throw around kind of casually, I think. You know, people say, it's so cold, I almost got frostbite the other day, and that may or may not be the case. But explain, what happens in true frostbite situations?
So frostbite is really a form of a burn or skin death. So in the worst circumstances, the skin freezes and then actually dies and then sloughs off and then you're left with a scar. The most common type of frostbite is frost nip, or first-degree frostbite, where the skin gets cold, it gets numb, you recognize it gets numb, so you go inside, and then as it rewarms, you feel the tingling or some mild pain as things go back to normal.
Well, what are the temperatures we're talking about, and what's the length of exposure that one needs to start being concerned about?
You know, everybody wants to know that, and I think, obviously, over the weekend, we're really talking, you know, I don't know the exact time, but we're talking within a few minutes, you could get frostbite on the tips of your fingers, your nose, and your ears, and your toes if they're exposed to the cold wind. But really, I like to talk about, you want to make sure that you stay dry, that you keep the wind off your back, and that you keep your head, hands, and feet warm, and stay well hydrated. That's really how you prevent frostbite.
The other term that gets used often, but probably imprecisely, is just the general blanket term exposure. What are the risks of exposure, and what are we talking about?
So when I say exposure, I mean skin to the cold air. So if you can keep your skin out of the cold air, you're protecting yourself. If you can give it thermal protection, meaning keep it warm, you're protecting yourself. And if you can keep wind off it, you're giving yourself more protection.
Well, and that's a good point. I mean, are there aspects to dressing appropriately for extreme cold that maybe we overlook?
I think most people in this kind of weather will they'll underdress. So the critical issue is really, if you want to protect frostbite risk areas that get frostbitten, you want to make sure your ears are protected, you want to make sure your fingers are protected, you want to make sure your nose is protected, and your toes. Ideally, if you cover your head and feet, you have a good chance of not getting frostbitten.
Well, and you mentioned the idea of frostbite coming in degrees, and the first degree frostbite or frost nip is this kind of standard, you know, we get cold and so we go inside and we feel our skin warming up and maybe it tingles, maybe it burns a little bit. What's the point at which we should be concerned about doing some serious damage? When does it become second or third degree frostbite?
So it comes when you don't take the signals in your body that you should go inside. So if you feel numbness in the fingertips, on the cheeks, on the nose, on the ear, those are signals that you need to get out of temperatures that you're in and get to a warm environment. If you neglect those signals, and meaning you choose to do that, you might be skiing, you might be away from warm areas, you might be drinking and neglect those, you might, mostly those are the high-risk areas. If you neglect those signals to your body, then you run the risk of beginning to freeze that skin. If you're out for a length of time, and here this could, you know, you're talking about 30 or 40 minutes of time, you're really talking about the skin actually beginning to blister, much like a second degree burn. And then all of the things that come with blistering, you get rupture of those blisters and you get scars, and then you have to manage those just like you manage wounds.
So that's frostbite. What about hypothermia? What are the risks of hypothermia?
Okay, a little bit different animal. So the hypothermia is about keeping your core warm. So you want the body, basically your trunk, which is really from your shoulders down to your hips. You want to keep that warm. That allows your body to keep the blood warm and circulate throughout the body. That way you can keep your temperature where it's supposed to be at 98.6.
And so in this case, this is not a question of having exposed skin, but this is more of a question of being dressed appropriately and staying dry?
Indeed. So exposed skin absolutely can contribute to hypothermia. So you want to recognize, you want to dress appropriately. You want to dress in layers that most people understand. And the one thing I've been sharing is that you actually want to wear wind protection. So if you have a winter jacket that has the wind cutting through it, you know, you can do something as simple as wear a rain jacket. And what that does is that keeps the wind off your back, and then you have a better chance of staying warm.
Let's say you have to be outside when the temperature is 10 or 15 below, like the Monday and even the Tuesday forecast. Are there issues that you should be aware of even if you're dressed for the conditions? Let's say you don't have any exposed skin. Does your body just not function as well in that kind of cold weather?
No, in fact, your body will function fine but you have to pay special attention to maintaining your body. So do all the things that we talked about of keeping your extremities warm, keep your core warm, make sure you're adequately hydrated, so don't go out dehydrated. If you're diabetic, don't do that work on those cold days because your nerves and your feet and legs don't work properly, so you're not going to recognize frostbite. And if you're on medicines, or hypertension or heart problems, don't go out in the cold. Pick a different day to do that work. If you can keep those things in mind and pay special attention, you actually can perform and function fine in the cold weather.
What kind of gearing up does an emergency department have to do for a cold snap like this, if any?
This is mostly standard usual care for us. I mean, we know we've had a cold weather snap, so we expect individuals to come in with frostbite. Most of those individuals have made bad decisions about alcohol and have been out in the snow and didn't take the signal to their body that they needed to get into warm air. Occasionally, you might have somebody who's in a snowmobile accident and they're stuck outside at a time until they can get either found or picked up. But this is sort of our standard bread and butter practice this time of year.
I imagine something you would expect if you're practicing emergency medicine in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Indeed.
Chris Decker, thank you so much. Stay warm.
Okay, all right, Nick.
Dr. Chris Decker is Emergency Department Medical Director at Froedtert Hospital in the Medical College of Wisconsin. He joined us by phone. The extreme cold is also a danger to buildings, bridges, and ships on Lake Michigan. We'll examine the sometimes overlooked field of cold weather engineering when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.